Original Love, A Biblical Love Story. Chapter 1. Original Love. During his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus touched several key areas that are a struggle for man. One of the points he mentioned was this: "Ye have heard that it has been said by them of old, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Matthew 5:27-28. For any Christian man, these words seem to provide the crushing blow to any sense of righteousness he might feel he possesses. In these words, Jesus touches the very core of man's slavery to sin. For any man seeking to be pure in heart, this pronouncement drives him to his knees in sorrow and a deep sense of his need of the living Savior in his heart. To know Jesus is to know that he never looked upon a woman to lust after her. With the knowledge of this reality, we have hope that we as fallen men might be transported in our hearts back to original love. When we think about the event when Adam first saw Eve, most men imagine that Adam said, "Whoa, man!" Yet this places onto Scripture the inclinations of the perverted heart. Many men can't even contemplate imagery of the garden for fear their corrupted nature will take control. To understand the love that was in the heart of Adam when he saw Eve, we simply need to read the Bible. "Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Genesis 2:22-23. Notice carefully the words of Adam as their eyes meet. "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." The basis of this original love was not that Adam saw something beautiful which he desired to possess. He saw someone that had drawn their life from him. He saw a person that had come from next to his heart. And therefore he cherished her as his second self. As Paul clearly expressed it, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Ephesians 5:28-30. So we see that just as Adam said to Eve, "You are my flesh and bone," in the same manner the second Adam says to the church, "You are of my flesh and bone." He loves us not because we have anything to offer him, but because we came from him. Such love. Beyond this, if you read the story in Genesis 2 carefully, you will see that Adam was placed in the garden over all creation before the woman was created from his rib. When she came forth from him, all that he possessed he gave to her to be a joint steward with him. Once again, did he do this because he saw something he desired to own and control? Did he seek to buy her with his assets? No, that is not the love that was in Adam's heart for Eve. The love that was in his heart was the love that comes from God, for God is love. But what love is that? The Greek for this is agape, which means benevolent love, a love that does not depend on any qualities possessed by the receiver. The Greek word that often means love today is eros, which is never endorsed in the Bible. Eros is a love of that which is beautiful, noble, and lovely. Eros is the desire to possess and enjoy the things that please our eyes, appetites, and bodies. See Judges 14, verses 2 and 3, and 2 Samuel 11, verse 2 as examples. When Eve came to Adam with the forbidden fruit, she came possessing something that God had not given to Adam to give to her. With this fruit, Eve now possessed something that he did not have. She had come from the tree with her mind filled with a new way of thinking. Satan beguiled Eve with his subtle words. Satan spoke to her as one who possessed beauty in herself. He did not address her as one who had received her inheritance from Adam. He addressed her simply as beautiful, and this flattered her and caused her to forget the source of her beauty. The mind that looks upon a woman and thinks of her beauty in order to obtain something from her is a mind inspired by Satan. There was something strange yet exciting about Eve when she came to her husband, immersed in her rebellion. With her new sense of who she was, her forwardness, self-confidence, and her ambition had a kind of attraction to Adam. It was strange, yet intriguing. In taking the fruit, Adam not only defied the law of God, he also established a new law, one that would cause all his sons to look to the woman to give them something. Within the hearts of men would be stamped this sense that the woman was the life giver. She possessed the path to vitality. And so the worship of the sacred feminine began, and the symbol of man's new slavery was the image in his mind of the naked female form. This is the image that for most men would become the token of that transaction in the garden, that man would look to the woman to give him life, rather than the woman looking to the man to give her life. In that transaction, the love of man tragically switched from agape to eros. It changed from a love that gives without seeking anything for self to a love that is only attracted to that which pleases self. The natural mind may think that this new love is a step up for women, but actually it bound the woman in slavery. In order to provide the man his eye candy, in order to attract the man, she must possess something to give him. The world of fashion and body enhancements is born. The woman now seeks to display her worth to the man she desires from her own resources. She unwittingly rejects her inheritance from the man and approaches him on her own terms, and the resulting experience is hollow for both man and woman. The man is left continually lusting, and the woman is left forever insecure. Note carefully that the original love Adam felt for Eve was not based on what she possessed in herself, but in that she had come forth from him. He bestowed all that he was given upon her because she had come forth from him, and therefore was part of him, and the responsibilities they had to each other were perfectly understood. That is agape. That is original love. Note also that the only way to ensure that agape is pure is to know for certainty that the receiver had nothing inherent in them to cause the love to be awakened. If the woman possessed something inherently that had not come from the man, then eros would awaken, and the woman then must continue to produce what first attracted the man, and this leads to death. Any quality in man outside of the purpose of God is fleeting and impermanent, and a love based on generating or requiring that quality can never be sustained. In God's plan, the woman didn't need to prove her value or compatibility to the man. Remember, Adam gave the reason why he loved the woman. She is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That is the basis of original love. And just as the inheritance of Eve from Adam was the surety of his agape for her, so too the inheritance of Christ from his Father is the surety of his agape for his Son. For we were made in their image. The Father stated, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved or agapetos Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Matthew 3:17. The only possible way for God to truly have agape for his Son is that the Son received all he had from his Father. That is the only way to ensure benevolent love. If the Father looks into the eyes of his Son and loves him because he is omnipotent or because he is omniscient, then this is not agape. Rather, this is a form of eros. Yet because the Bible tells us that God gave his Son everything, this reveals that his love is purely agape, and this is the love he shares with us. We love with agape because he first loved his Son with agape. We love or agape him because he first loved or agaped us. 1 John 4:19. If we worship a God who loves because of inherent qualities, then we will do the same. We will become what we behold. Yet if we worship a Son who was given all things and rests in the assurance of his Father's sweet, benevolent, agape love, then we can be transformed into the image of this love and love as God loved his Son. Our God is agape, and in him is no eros at all.